Edition of American Exposé. I'm Chris Gerner speaking to you on the 14th of July 2005. Amanda, are you with me?
I am.
Okay.
I can barely hear you though.
We got to turn up the volume on this so we can hear each other. Let's see. How about Tony? Is he with us?
I'm with you, Chris.
Okay, wonderful. Here we see that UNICEF, the World Bank, the UN Development Program, the World Health Organization, listeners, and the UN Population Fund promote and fund abortions worldwide. The UNFPA, for instance, sent to Balkans in their refugee camps emergency reproductive health kits that contained abortion-efficient pills, intrusive devices, and even suction apparatus called a manual vacuum aspirator. And it's a misleading term to describe a device that sucks a tiny baby out of a mother's womb. Other elements of the global abortion network working hand in glove with the UN system include the International Planned Parenthood Federation, the Population Council, the International Project Assistance Services. On the website, we have much information about the fact that, yeah, we are a vassal state of the UN system. It's just the way it is. I can't change it. I can't change my direction in doing broadcasts. I can't change what is the fact and the documented direction of where we've where we're headed, where we are. And this is the scenario. Some people have complained that I've talked about Agenda 21 too much. I don't care. Agenda 21 is the plan for the 21st century, listeners. That's what it is. It's the plan for every one of us in the 21st century. The sooner people turn off their television sets and start researching Agenda 21, they'll get on the right page of where we are right now. And in Amanda's situation, here we are in Agenda 21, Chapter 25. They say, promote primary environmental care activities that address the basic needs of communities. What does that mean, promote primary environmental care activities that address the basic needs of communities? She's been vilified for having a messy house. They've taken her children out of her house because the house is messy, listeners. Now listen again. Promote primary environmental care activities that address the basic needs of communities. Improve the environment for children at the household and community level. And encourage the participation and empowerment of local populations. including women, youth, children, and indigenous people, towards the objective of integrated community management of resources, especially in developing countries. They always add that in there. But in the developed countries, they're doing it as well, right here in America. In the developed countries in America, this is going on. We won't have a commercial break until the bottom of the hour, Amanda and Tony. And once again, this is Amanda Donahoe, and Tony Blackman is Amanda's father. And we're here to chronicle what has happened to Amanda. And let's start over from the beginning, Amanda. Let's let the listeners know what's happened to you and your husband.
Okay. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine. I just need you to just speak up, and I'm sure it'll be okay.
Okay. I'm having a little problem hearing you, but I'll go with it. Start from the beginning, right?
Please.
Okay. It all started on August 19th. The FACTS, Department of Family and Children's Service, came to my home based on an allegation of, you know, several allegations, and took my
children. The allegations came from where?
From where I worked, supposedly. That's what I'm hearing. It came from an employee that I worked with.
Okay, and a fellow worker where you were working made a complaint about you, and what do you think that complaint was?
The complaint initially I was told was that there was drug abuse, that my children were being abused, and that me and my husband were hitting each other.
Uh-huh. Now, how would those people know to make that report, I wonder?
Well, I mean, I had told some people at work that I was having some problems at home. I was working so much, and they wouldn't give me a day off. You know, my boss told me that if she gave me the night off that I requested, that she would have to write me up for it. So I told her, I called her back and told her that I was having some problems at home and I needed the night off. I had already worked, I think, I've worked about 6 days straight already. And, you know, I guess they just built their own allegations from there. I don't know.
Somebody was disgruntled with you at work?
I'm sorry?
Somebody was upset with you at work?
I think so. I mean, because when I told her that I needed the night off, she got pretty upset, and she told me, you know, you need to come in. I have nobody else to fill this position. And I said, look, I'm having problems, you know. Me and my husband are arguing. You know, my kids, I've never seen my kids. I've got to have a night off. I was just, you know, I was really exhausted, and I really needed some time off work, and they would not give me the time off that I needed without writing me up.
Uh-huh.
So...
Okay, you would have been written up to the company or the corporate portion of the company, and you would have been given a report, and they would have decided whether to keep you or fire you, correct?
Yeah, see, you get like 3 write-ups, and I'd already had 2. One was from a previous incident unrelated to this, but you only get like 3, and then they fire you.
Now, your location, once again, is?
Thomaston, Georgia.
Thomaston, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go continue.
Okay, and they took my sons. They said they took my sons because my house was messy, and it was not spotless clean, but it was not filthy. They even when the caseworkers and the investigators tried to condemn my house and say that it was deplorable, which that didn't work out. Obviously, you know, there's still people living in this house, and they took my sons.
Okay, now let me ask you real quick. Here you are working a job, your husband's working another job, you're raising 2 children, 2 sons. How much time do you have to clean your house?
Well, that was my point exactly right from the beginning. You know, I didn't have a whole lot of time. I barely even had time to sleep. You know, I had a pager that I had gotten just for the purpose of my employment being able to call me when somebody laid out of work. I was the first person they would call. And I was working some double shifts. I was having to come in on my off days and work, and I rarely got a day off. I was exhausted. You know, I didn't feel up to cleaning the house when I was home. All I wanted to do was rest.
Yes. Okay, so the initial raid on your home, how did that happen?
Well, I wasn't home at the time. I had been out, and when I arrived home, I see, you know, these undercover, I mean, like, you know, the drug, narcotics, whatever they're called, investigators and the caseworkers at my home, And I walked in, and they're all just standing there, you know, with their clipboards and their cameras, and they're taking pictures, and they're pointing out every little thing that they could find wrong with my house, you know, even down to little bitty things like little toys in the floor and stuff. And at this time, you know, I'm pretty upset and I'm nervous because I knew who they were and I knew what they were there for. And I really didn't know how to deal with it, you know, and when they started hitting me with all these accusations, I didn't try to defend myself or anything. I just was just in a state of shock. And I didn't find out until later, after that day that happened, they told me that I could not see my husband, that I had to go and stay with somebody else, and that if I were to go and visit with my husband, that I would never see my children again.
Why would they want you not to talk to your husband?
I guess on the allegations of the abuse, I'm not really sure why they would say that.
Did you ever beat up on each other?
No.
Okay, that's a ludicrous question to ask, as in your opinion.
Yes, I mean, we argued. I mean, we have problems like any other married
couple. Now, usually when you argue, you're probably arguing over the limited time you have and how you're going to spend that limited time and the responsibility of raising your children, correct?
Yes, and that particular day that we had the argument, he told me, you know, quit answering your pager, stay home some, you know, the house is a wreck, the kids are, you know, they need some attention, they need their mother. You know, basically we were arguing that, you know, we had just moved into this house and it was very expensive, and I was putting in all these hours to try to pay for this place, you know, a nicer home than what we had lived before, and it was causing a lot of problems with my family because I never saw my family, and it was all based around the money and such, I guess.
Okay, so you're trying to withhold, you're trying to keep your house in place by working. Your husband's doing the same thing by working, and you're barely making ends meet.
Yeah, it was a very expensive house, and my husband, he was working just temp jobs here and there. His friend worked in a warehouse and would get him to come up there whenever he had some stuff available, which wasn't too often, and jobs were really scarce in that county, so it was basically all he had at the time, and it just wasn't enough to pay for our house and everything that we had. We had no gas in the home because, you know, we had just moved into it, and the gas was so expensive, and we were cooking on a hot plate, a two-burner hot plate, and they actually used that against us as well, saying that we could, you know, we couldn't take care of our children because we were cooking on a hot plate instead of a stove.
That's ridiculous.
I didn't know that hot plates were illegal.
Hot plates are more efficient than stoves.
Mm-hmm.
They cost less to operate, and they get the job done the same way, don't they?
But it worked for me. I mean, we had been using it in our other home for about 2 years. I never saw a problem with it.
For many years, I cooked on a hot plate. It worked fine. It didn't create as much of a mess. You didn't have to worry about gas or electricity any more than, you know. In other words, the point is they found another frivolous excuse to put a demerit on your report.
Yeah.
Go ahead, continue.
And my two sons were in their bedroom, and there was a baby gate up in front of their door, and they used the baby gate as a means to say that we were neglecting them.
A baby gate to keep them from coming out of their room?
He had put it up. I wasn't there, so he had told me, he put it up because he was doing some stuff around the house and he didn't want the boys to get into anything because the youngest at the time, he was just barely a year old. So he just put the gate up, you know, while he did what he had to do to make sure that they didn't get out and get into something, and, you know, he was trying to protect them. And when I went into the house, they said, you know, see, they're behind this baby gate. They can't go anywhere, and the room was huge. You know, they weren't like trapped in a very tiny space.
Uh-huh.
And that's when they used the baby gate against us, saying that we were neglecting them because of that. I didn't know that having a baby gate would be used against us.
Well, it doesn't seem like you're neglecting them because you're monitoring them, and you're keeping them from getting into mischief by keeping them in their room while you tend to other responsibilities?
According to them, I guess that's neglect and abuse. in some way. It makes no sense to me either. They sell these baby gates at Walmart, you know. Anybody can go get them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, continue.
Okay, and they told me that because my house was a disaster, which it was not a disaster, but that's beside the point, they said, we're going to take your children and place them with your family, your parents, and you have 10 days to get this place cleaned up. I think it took us less than a day, you know, just picking up here and there and sweeping, and that was basically it. Well, I have this in writing that they said that. Well, 10 days later, they came back, inspected my home. It was totally spotless. They approved it. They said, well, we still can't give you your children back because other issues have come out that we need to deal with first.
Now, the point is they initially came into your house without a warrant.
Mm-hmm.
They followed your husband into the house.
Yes.
Uninvited.
Yes.
Okay, continue.
So, at this point, you know, I'm trying to figure out what's going on. You know, I had went against their wishes to stay away from my husband, and I had went and, you know, back over to my house and stayed with him.
Now, you didn't want to stay away from your husband. You were ordered to stay away from your husband because of the rumors that were given to the Child Protective Services that he was abusive to you?
That's right. And they even, that the day that that happened, they even made me go to this victim's advocate where they tried to, they did interrogate me for a while. And
what did you tell them?
I told him, you know, when one of the girls that I worked with that I found out later was not on my side. She was just trying to, I don't know what she was trying to do, but she was talking really bad about my husband. And we went in, and they're sitting there talking about him beating me up. And I said, no, he really is not a violent person. He's not a bad person. And they kept saying, you know, that's not true and all this stuff. Well, in court, the advocate couldn't even really testify as to, he didn't even remember our conversation. So I guess that was a good thing. But they did. They interrogated me. They told me, if you go around your husband, you'll never see your kids again. They even told me, if you go back to your husband, then you must love him more than your children, and you don't want your children back. And this was a statement that the caseworker made to me. And so on the day, the 24th, when they were, you know, they came back and they checked my home and it was clean. And it just, it's like it started all over again. And they went out to my parents' house and said, we got to take the children into custody. And they didn't even have a court order to remove my children. My sister, who knew the law a little bit better than me, asked them, do you have a court order? And they kind of laughed and said, no, we left it in the other county. We'll have to go back and get it. So
wow.
They drove all the way back to the other county. It was about a 45-minute, you know, 45 minutes from the time they went to get it and came back. And that's when they took my sons, kicking and screaming and reaching out for me. And there was nothing I could do because it was a deputy standing in the yard with his hand on his gun, you know, like he was just waiting for me to try to get my children. And, you know, there wasn't a whole lot I could do at that point.
I see. Okay. Now, they were given to your parents, and once your house was cleaned up, they were going to return them to your parents, and then they said there are some other issues.
Yeah, it was the whole domestic violence issue, and in court,
But what domestic violence are we talking about?
They said that we were fighting in front of our children, and I told them, I said, we have arguments, but this particular argument that we had, my sons were taking a nap. They were not even in the room with us.
See, this country is being Sovietized, listeners. Behind the scenes, you'll hear that from Hansa when we have him back on. He sees a very similar direction that happened in his country in Czechoslovakia. It's happening in our country today with the families. And this is just the thing. This is the foremost destruction of the family is to take the children out of the homes. And that's a great way to destroy the family. The children aren't having any ability to raise themselves. There were foreigners raising them right now. So continue with your thoughts now.
Okay, and they took my son's on the 24th, and we had a hearing, which was supposed to be the 72-hour hearing, but it was actually 114 hours later from the time they took him from me originally. And at that hearing, the judge ruled that because of the domestic violence allegations, which is how it shows on our paperwork, that it's allegations, that my children were found to be deprived. And that is when they said that my children would remain in state custody, and we were given a case plan and, you know, a whole bunch of stuff that we have to complete before we can get our sons back. And most of it, to me, is just a waste of money, whoever's paying for it. You know, I'm not sure.
How much time had gone by between the time that they took your children and this time you're describing?
This was about 30 days, I think, and from the time they took my sons, I think it was about 3 weeks before I was able to see them again.
Okay, does that mean they were with the parents?
They were in foster care at that time.
Okay, so what my question is, how long of a time was it between the time that you didn't see your children, they went to your parents' house, how long were they at your parents' house?
They were just at my parents' house for about four days. Five days, because they took them on the 19th, and then they took them from me on the 19th, and then took them from my parents' house on the 24th.
Okay, now, Tony, why did they...
Something here, Chris.
Tony, go ahead.
Okay, what she's talking about, when they brought them here, they checked our house. It's an old house, but it belongs to my youngest daughter and her husband, and he works for the sheriff's department here. DFACS checked the house. They said it was okay. They left the children here. And as I told you earlier today, my friend that works for DFACS here in Upson County. I called him and had a long talk with him, and he said he was coming out. And
wait a minute now. Listeners, when he says DFACS, he's talking about the Department of Family and Children's Services. That's the Department of Family and Children's Services in Thomaston, Georgia, correct?
Better known as legalized police-protected kidnapping.
Okay, go right ahead.
But anyway, he called back a couple of days later. This was, in fact, it was the day that they came and took him from my house. And he talked to me on the phone, talked real nice. He said, by the way, I need to come out and bring some papers out for you to sign. And I said, what kind of papers? He says, well, he says, I need you to get signed some papers, you and your wife, so that you can be drug screened and have a federal background check run on you. I said, for what? He said, in order for you to, you know, to keep your grandsons. I said, excuse me? I'm not going along with that. And I'm the kind of person, I don't take too hearty to stuff like that, because these are my blood. These are not... kids that I'm, you know, I'm not a foster parent. These are my grandsons, and I haven't seen them since the day they were taken from my house.
And how long has that period of time passed?
10 months.
Uh-huh.
And, but anyway, the whole thing in a nutshell is this. Any time that they can get their foot in the door, they'll do it illegally. They'll do it without a warrant. They'll do it with police protection. If you've got a bottle of children's Tylenol sitting around, anything, even a rubber band. I've had friends to tell me that they had a rubber band laying on a coffee table that came off a newspaper, and their kids were taken from the house because there was a rubber band on the coffee table.
See how communistic this country has become, listeners. This is the point, this is the problem, and this is why your required reading of Chapter 25 of Agenda 21 is mandatory. You can get through their wording to understand what's being implemented here today and for this family. Go right ahead, Tony.
But anyway, her house was not a mess because my son-in-law and I were over there the day before fixing the van that I loaned her. And the only thing that I could see wrong with the house, if you want to call it wrong, is the fact they had a spare bedroom. They had all their belongings that they had not unpacked. They were in boxes.
Right.
Put in that room with the door shut. The kids could not open the door and go in there.
It was a storage room, in other words.
You know, there was no danger to the children.
Right.
And the whole thing is just, what it is power, it's control. These people supposed to be our service, to help us in time of need, if we need help. But instead, they take advantage of the situation and use it to benefit from tax dollars so that they can... I don't know if Amanda's told you the exact amount of money they made last year off kidnapping children, but Lamar County has a record of it, and we have another cousin who, her and her husband just lost, I think it's four sons to defects because somebody tipped the drug task force off and told them that they were running a meth lab. They were arrested, carried to jail, and there's no record of any warrant or any arrest, but yet and still they spent about a week in jail, and they still don't have their kids back.
Were they running a meth lab?
No, they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I don't understand. I've tried to contact them in the past week to find out what's going on. In other words,
what is happening here, there's a profitable business being engineered by stealing children from homes.
That's right. And, you know, Florida has a record of probably the most increase in funds because of the kidnappings that have taken place by defects in the state of Florida.
I see. Now, this is an agent of the federal government?
Who is this? The defects?
Uh-huh.
Defects is not an agent of the federal government.
They're part of the local government?
No, DFACS is funded by the government, but they're a private organization. It's a state organization, but it's not government.
Okay, so they're a private organization being funded by the federal government.
Right, they're being funded by the taxpayers.
I see.
You know, I had a friend, David Tazur, who is with the Israeli Army right before the Olympics in Atlanta. He told me that we're the only country in the world that he knows of that where we'll vote to put somebody in office to arrest us.
Yeah.
Think about that. That's exactly what's going on in this country.
Yeah.
Sheriff's deputies are supposed to protect us. They're supposed to protect us from evil. But yet, they're not doing their job. They're protecting the ones that do the evil to hurt us, to harm us. And that's exactly what happened here in this situation. I would love to see my grandsons.
You betcha.
And
you're very concerned about your grandsons because you don't know what kind of hands they're in right now.
And I have not even seen my newborn grandson.
And we haven't even touched on that, listeners. But first, we'll talk about the fact that when you visited your sons, Amanda, they look like they've been abused?
Several times. The first time that we were able to see my sons, like I said, it was about 3 weeks after they took them. They acted like they really didn't know who I was. They acted like they were drugged. My oldest son had a black eye, which would not be his first black eye. My youngest son at the time had this, I don't know what it was, some kind of rash all over his face and had some kind of cut on his forehead. Oh, I asked them what happened, and, you know, they gave me some, you know, stupid story they thought I would believe, you know.
Now, listeners, I've seen the pictures. They've sent me the pictures, so I know what she's talking about. We're about to hit commercial pause here, but the point of this whole situation is there's a business in stealing children from their families. It's an engineered business by design to help destroy the family unit. It's part of the UN program of destroying our country under Agenda 21, taking all freedoms away and abilities to do what you want with your family as you see fit. Most parents love their children. We'll be back to continue the broadcast.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you?
America is at war right now. It's not a war against Iraq, nor is it a war against terrorism. It's a new war for our independence. At stake is our Constitution and the very freedoms we enjoy every day. You see, power-hungry politicians are quietly advancing something deceptively named the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA. Proponents claim they are merely promoting trade by turning North and South America into a huge economic union. But in reality, it's a brazen scheme to eliminate the authority of the U.S. government, submitting our nation to the whims of a new regional superpower. America as we value it will steadily disappear, as will our rights, our Constitution, and our freedoms. Help win the war against the FTAA. Go to StopTheFTAA.org and help keep America free. That's StopTheFTAA.org.
Okay, we're with Linda Donahoe and her father, Tony Blackman. We're discussing the loss of two sons. In the first half hour, that's what we did. Now let's talk about what happened to your newborn son that you delivered last week, Amanda.
Well, I knew going in to have him that it was a risk, but I was sick and I had to be put on antibiotics, so I had to go in, you know, to the hospital to have him. But I was assured that, you know, there had to be, you know, deprivation found before they could take him. Well, I went in and I had him, and 3 hours later I was confronted with the caseworkers telling me that they would have to take my newborn son. And I had him on Thursday. Friday night at 10:30, the nurses took him, said they were going to take him to check his vitals and all that, but he never returned. Well, when I called to find out, you know, where my son was, they said that DFAX had called and ordered them not to allow my son to return to me. And I got all upset and I said, you know, why? You know, and what DFAX? They didn't even know who had called them except that it was just DFAX. Somebody stated they were DFAX. I found out later that DFAX told the nurses that I was a threat to myself and to my child.
Now, once again, DFAX is the Department of Family and Children's Services. Listeners, go ahead.
So, and I was nursing my son. I chose to do that this time instead of the bottle feeding because of the benefits of it. They would not even allow me into the nursery to feed my son. And I said, you know, you have to have a court order to take my child from me. And they said, they said they had a court order. And I said, did anybody see this court order? Nobody had seen the court order. DFAX did not even show up with the court order to show them. It was Monday, the following Monday, that our court-appointed attorneys actually showed us this court order. But they did not show it to us in the hospital, or they never showed it to the nurses or anyone. They just ordered them to take my son from me. And on Saturday morning, I watched my son be carried out of the hospital by someone else. And that is the last time I've seen him.
You have no clue where your new son is. He
I
needs
no
to be breastfed
that.
By his mother. He's not getting the proper nutrition he needs at a young age. You've lost your other two sons for 10 months because supposedly you were doing marijuana, but you've been clean for 9 months. You've been drug tested every month since that time. Marijuana is nothing compared to the real drugs that are out there, especially if it's not abused. The point is, you're being victimized for a profit. Is that not correct, Tony?
That's correct. The ones that they like to hit the most are the ones that are like us, that are what they consider low-class or middle-class families that don't have a whole lot of money, because they know you can't fight them if you don't have the money. And we have tried to find an attorney. We have called everywhere. No one, and I have a lot of friends that are attorneys, no one will take the case because they're all a member of the British Accredited Registry.
The bar.
Because they're under the Commonwealth law.
And the bottom line is you don't have any money to pay them anyway.
That's right.
You don't have enough money to pay them, put it that way.
Yeah, we don't have enough money.
And they probably charge $500 an hour to even talk to you.
Well, before they even take the case, they won't. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Amanda, it's $4,000 up front?
Yeah, it was $3,500 for the cheapest one that we could find.
See how the situation puts itself in a position where your children can be taken off somewhere and mistreated, because the parents are always going to treat the children the properest way, and yet you're run up roadblock after roadblock, and here you are with no direction to take. And that's the point of what we do here and bring you on. But the amazing thing is, your newborn was taken from you out of the hospital, and you don't know where he is. Now, the caseworker is the person named Debbie?
Yes, she's actually been working really hard with us to all the counseling that we were required by Lamar County to take. She has actually, you know, stepped in, put in a lot of hours helping us, and I really feel, you know, confident in her dedication to this, because she's really done a lot for us. But
mm-hmm.
It's not her case. It's not Upson County's case. You know, it's Lamar County. They're the ones that are supposed to be providing the services for us, and they will not do it.
What I can't understand, Chris, is the fact that Lamar County came out of their jurisdiction and used Upson County deputies to kidnap the children from my home. They came out of their jurisdiction, and then they went back into their jurisdiction to get the required papers necessary to remove them from my home, and drove back. I don't understand it.
Now, are we talking about the Lamar County Sheriff's Office?
No, it was the Upson County Sheriff's Office here in Upson County.
Uh-huh.
Assisted defects when Lamar County defects came into this county.
Wow.
In other words, there's no sovereignty left anymore. We are not sovereign.
Certainly. And certainly that's been going on for quite a long time. It's at the point now where they can come into your house, they can make any excuse at all about your house to take your children.
And another thing, Chris, her house was, like I said earlier, it was not messy. With the toys and the baby gate, the toys were in the two little boys' room,
mm-hmm.
and the baby gate was there to keep them from wandering into the bathroom or into the kitchen, because her husband was washing dishes, cleaning up, you know,
right.
between jobs, trying to get things straightened up.
Now, what else are you going to do? Because if you lock them up in the kitchen, or confine them to the kitchen where the dishes are being done, they wouldn't be happy.
No, they wouldn't be happy, and it'd be a possibility that they could get hurt.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly they'd get upset and restless, and they'd aggravate the father, and certainly to keep them in their environment, in their room, at the time when he can't watch them, would be the logical thing to do.
That's right. You know, if a baby gate is illegal, then why do they sell them? And if children's Tylenol is illegal, then why do they sell it? Shouldn't the drug companies and the companies that make the baby gates be held responsible and be sued by everybody that buys it?
Well,
I mean, that's just logic to me.
This is totally unreasonable, and that's the problem. Now the opportunity to drug the children, and here we are. You and your daughter are believers in no vaccinations.
That's right. And my daughter signed an affidavit. I guess you would call it an affidavit, a piece of paper. My son-in-law is a notar. He notarized it specifically saying that they didn't want their children vaccinated, and they did it anyway.
Mm-hmm. They vaccinated them anyway.
Right.
And the infant's probably been vaccinated already, too.
More than likely. Probably
now, Amanda,
has.
Have you seen any adverse effects from vaccinations to your two boys?
My middle son, who is two now, the day that I found out they had been vaccinated, it was me and my mom. We went to the park where we usually visit them at, and my two-year-old, he was acting just very strange. He acted like, you know, he was drugged or something, but he kept falling asleep, which was, you know, unusual for him because he's usually a really active child.
Uh-huh.
And I was holding him. I mean, he just whined the whole time when he was awake, you know, and then he would just, the one thing that really startled me and, you know, prompted me to question what was going on was I was holding him and all of a sudden he looks up at me and he throws up, I mean, just everywhere, and then he just passes out. And I said, this is not right. What's going on with my son? So I called the DFACS office, and they said he had a cold. And I said, have they been given their vaccines? And they said, yes, they went and had a number of them already. Well, sometime later, excuse me, I found out that my son had lost 40% of his hearing, and they would have to place tubes in his ears to drain them. And after contacting some friends of mine and doing some research, I found out that the MMR shot causes hearing loss because of the high levels of mercury and other things that are in them.
No.
And so both of my children are sick all the time. They never, hardly ever sick when I had them. But since DFACS took them, it's like a every other week thing. They're very sick, you know, runny noses or coughing or something. And I do believe that those vaccines, and I'm pretty sure that the vaccine is what made my son really sick that day. You know, his little body was not meant to have all these poisons injected into him like that.
He wasn't happy to see you either, was he?
He acted like I said, like he was on some kind of drug. He was just very
lethargic.
Distant.
He was lethargic?
Yes, very.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it scared me. It really did. I mean, it terrified me because I had no idea what was going on with my son. And DFACS could not give me a clear, you know, reason as to what was going on with him. Nothing made sense. Every time I questioned what was wrong with my children, they acted like it was none of my business.
Okay, so where does it stand right now with the situation?
Well, right now, my two sons are in some foster care in Lamar County. My newborn is in some foster care here in Upson. I've not seen him. I've not heard anything from him. I was storing some milk for him, you know, because I couldn't nurse him like I wanted to. So they told me if I stored the milk in my freezer that they would come by every other day or whatever and get the milk to take to him. I've not seen anybody. I can't get no phone calls. Nobody will call me back. I've got a diaper bag sitting in the living room with clothes in it that are his that I'll never dress him in. But they were supposed to come get these clothes, they were supposed to come get the milk, and they were supposed to be letting me see my son this week. I haven't heard anything from anybody.
Okay, now we're still talking about your Department of Family and Children's Services in Lamar County?
For my older two sons, yes, and Upson has my newborn.
And so you've been trying to get a hold of Jennifer, your caseworker, about this?
Well, Jennifer, she's in charge of Lamar County, and I quit contacting her a long time ago because she thought that she was going to come to my house and when I was 7 months pregnant and push her way into my house, and that's just not happening.
Now, she did this after hours. She came out of her jurisdiction into Upson County to Amanda's house and just forced her way in and wanted to know why she had a cell phone and just started asking her all kind of questions.
Oh, you mean why she had a cell phone? Because maybe she was going to sell drugs?
I don't know. I guess it's illegal to have a cell phone now.
Well, the question behind that was I had told her that we couldn't afford all the therapy that they were, you know, giving us. This cell phone had been given to me by a friend. It was not active. The only purpose it served was to dial 911.
Right.
Because we didn't have a phone at the time, and I was having to walk to work, and I was walking at night, and this friend of mine just wanted me to have the cell phone just in case.
How far away was your walk to work?
To walk, it took about 15 or 20 minutes.
Okay.
It was about a mile from her house.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not too far, but it was, you know, it took a little while to get there, but...
And your work was a convenience store gasoline combination, right?
Well, this particular job, I had quit that job when they took the kid. This particular job was a restaurant-type job.
Okay.
And, but anyways, I had this cell phone, and when I mentioned the fact that I couldn't afford the therapy, you know, she walks over and starts rambling on my table to look at stuff, and she says, well, you got a cell phone. If you can afford cell phone, you know, you can afford, you know, therapy. And I said, look, that phone has never been active. I can't afford to turn it on. So then she points at a pack of cigarettes that belonged to my husband and said, you know, well, if you can afford cigarettes, you can afford therapy. she's basically throwing everything that she could possibly throw at us at that time. And I'm like, this is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I mean... My husband, you know, he's the one working right now, but we still don't make enough money to pay for this therapy, and they ordered us all these therapies that we find has nothing to do with my children. Absolutely nothing. But we're ordered to take it anyway.
It's about control.
Oh, boy.
Plain and simple. And well, what's really bad is, you know, you get into this system... And, you know, in our case, I guess we got into it because we needed the food stamps, you know, and then they tell you, well, you've got to take these classes. Well, then you're still caught up in the system because you're having to take classes from people that they appoint you to take them from, like, you know, different therapists and all.
What are the classes about?
One, we have to do couples therapy, which they say we have unresolved domestic issues. I have to take individual therapy. I have to take this drug assessment class. And my husband has to take, he has to go through the couples therapy as well. And he also has to take, I think it's an assessment. I don't know if it's an assessment or a class where they are trying to convince him that it's okay to take psychotropic drugs.
Okay, now here's an excerpt from chapter 25 of Agenda 21. Try and weed your way through the wording of what they say. Establish procedures to incorporate children's concerns into all relevant policies and strategies for environment and development at the local, regional, and national levels, including those concerning allocation of and entitlement to natural resources, housing and recreation needs, and control of pollution and toxicity in both rural and urban areas. But once again, establish procedures to incorporate children's concerns into all relevant policies and strategies for environment and development at the local, regional, and national levels. This is where it comes from. This is giving the direction by our government agencies to take away children from their parents. And it's not just Amanda's problem, it's everyone's problem, all of our problems.
I just wonder where all the men are. I mean, the testosterone level has dropped in America. Used to men, I know as a child when I was growing up, if a man beat his wife and wouldn't work and he was a drunk, then the elders of the community, black and white, would get together and they would give this guy a party. And believe me, this guy would be out looking for a job the next day and he would be working. But you can't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now, men, there's no real men left.
Well, the dumbing down process started in the 1930s. The drugging down process started in the 1960s. The jobs are disappearing below the border and overseas under NAFTA, GATT, WTO, UN system, the leveling of the playing field, and yet the family is the paramount foundation of our constitutional republic, which is being taken away from us. And this is why this is happening. Now, I'm trying to think of a way to get a groundswell going to get you more exposure and to bring people on that have knowledge about what to do. And I just feel so frustrated for you because I can give out phone numbers of these case workers, but what are they going to do? They're just going to hang up. They're not going to listen. They're only taking orders.
They're bullies. They are bullies when they have the upper hand, especially when they're protected by local and state government. They become bullies. Because I know that when they came here to get my two grandsons from our property, that one of the ladies was very bullyish and got in my face. And I made one of the deputies angry because I told her if she got in my face that I would put her in a place. You know, I'm a veteran of the Vietnam era. Like I said earlier today, I retired from the Georgia State Patrol. I'm a calm, easygoing, loving, caring, giving person. But I don't take too kindly to anybody, especially a woman getting in my face.
Well,
I mean, it's just...
Yeah.
It's the way I've been raised. I'll treat a woman like a lady if she'll allow me to. But if she wants to act like a bully, like a guy, then I guess we're just going to have to get it on, you know?
Well, the thing is, this is the feminization of our country. The feminization is designed to destroy the family. It's all working. And you are the grunt of the problem. You get all the bullying and abuse. And at this situation, I think what we should do is give out the phone number to reach you. And I think maybe we can get on some other shows and get this spread around. I know William's out there and others are out there that might spread the email around about this. I can spread your email around. The thing is, we've got to get more people to understand everyone's dilemma, which is your dilemma. If it happened to you, it's going to happen to everyone.
The thing is, Chris, it's happening everywhere, and the people are just submitting, getting down on their knees, licking the boots of these people, saying, I'll do whatever I got to do just to get my kids back. And
right.
In fact, Amanda started that attitude, and I said, no, wait a minute now. You haven't violated any laws. You've done nothing wrong. You don't get out on your knees. You don't lick their boots. You don't submit. You fight them. We've got to fight tyranny. I'd rather die fighting for what is right or fighting for someone else's right than to live in a nation where I'm not free, and especially when my grandchildren don't have a chance to live in a free nation.
I do understand your point, and I think you're right. I think at this point, the situation that we have, we've got to get more people involved to put the pressure on these agencies. And I think this groundswell of people understanding what's happening, we might be able to make a difference. Would you suggest that I give out Amanda's phone number for people to contact her?
That would be fine.
Okay, so Amanda's phone number is 706-646-0065. That's 706-646-0065. The listeners are courteous. They'll call you at the proper times. They won't harass you. They will call with their concerns about how they can help. The number is 706-646-0065. That's 706-646-0065. This scenario that has happened to you is happening to others. Is there any hope in getting your infant in any way?
They told me that, which is really, really just totally against the law what they're doing, but they're telling me that if once we've completed our case plan, we're 2 months into it, we still have 4 more months left. They said that Upson County told us that they're trying to get all 3 of my children returned to me, but there's no set date. I haven't seen my son. I don't even know when I'm going to see him. I don't know when he's going to be returned. I'm hoping it's soon because, in 4 months, there goes that, crucial bonding period that I've been deprived from. My son has been deprived from.
They're helping to destroy you.
And that's exactly what's going on. And the thing, people...
You know, you see, this is the kind of action that can drive someone crazy.
Yeah, and then they're telling me right now that I have unresolved mental health issues, and I... You know, I wonder how sane is a person supposed to be if you come in and you take their children away from them. You know,
yeah.
what are we supposed to do?
Are you not supposed to be upset about that? Is that what they're trying to say?
Apparently they think that we're just supposed to smile and say, okay, you were right, we were wrong, we'll just do whatever you tell us to do. And, you know, I don't feel like I should have to give in to every, you know, what they want me to do, because I have a right to raise my family the way that I feel is best, and, you know, without this happening to us. And everybody should have a right to raise their children. You know, if you're not, you know, trying to kill your children, or, you know, you're just doing your best to try to make sure that they can, you know, function well in this society, if that's even possible. You know, you don't need people coming in and telling you that you're not doing a good enough job, that you're not doing it by their standards, and so they want to take your children away and mold them into something that they want them to be.
Right, and think about these employees of this Department of Family and Children's Services, this group is in every city of every state of the union, aren't they?
That's right. It's everywhere.
Now, the point is, we go back to Chapter 25 of Agenda 21, I'm trying to make a point here. International and regional organizations should cooperate and coordinate in the proposed areas. See, it's very loosely based here, but you have to read it. UNICEF should maintain cooperation and collaboration with other organizations of the United Nations. Governments and non-governmental organizations should develop programs for children and programs to mobilize children in the activities outlined above. You need to go to Chapter 25, listeners, and understand what this is saying, and then you see what Child Protective Services is all about. They're all about regulation and conformity to whatever they desire to be. Is that about right, Tony? Tony, did I lose you? Amanda?
I'm here.
Okay. In other words, you have to conform to whatever they want you to do, however unreasonable it is.
It doesn't matter what they ask you to do. They expect you to do it, even if it's wrong. And if you don't do it, then they tell you, well, you must not care about your children enough if you're not going to do this. And that's how they get you. They get you because they're playing on your emotions. They know that you're in a state of, you know, just you have to do what they say to do in order to get your children back.
Amanda, I appreciate you being with us. Her number, listeners, is 706-646-0065, 706-646-0065. Amanda, thank you very much for being with me, and we'll see where we go, and I'll talk to you in a while.
Okay, thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. Sad commentary, America. A sad, sad commentary. Sorry, it's the way it is. I'm speechless. I don't know about you, but I'm just going to say goodnight.
Record budget deficits, bankruptcies galore, and the U.S. dollar is at an all-time low. With today's gloomy economic outlook, safe investments are often hard to find. For over a decade, Melody Cederstrom at Discount Gold and Silver Trading Company has been helping people secure their future by investing in the precious metals. Melody has the honesty, integrity, and experience that is often lacking in the precious metals business. Let her put it to work for you. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 800-